Nothing sticks like duct tape. You've tuned in to another installment of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. Always chock full of simple, effective, and affordable small business marketing tips, tactics, and strategies. And now, here's your host, America's most practical small business marketing expert, John Jantz.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz. My guest today is Justin Kitch, the CEO and founder of Homestead Technology Incorporated, a company that provides website creation, software, e-commerce solution, and online marketing products and services to small businesses. So welcome, Justin.
Oh, thanks, John. Glad to be here.
So you're out in California, right?
Yes, sir.
But how'd this company get named Homestead? I don't think it sounds like a Kansas term.
Well, actually, I grew up in Kansas. But Homestead, you know, when we started the company in 1998, we were trying to simplify the process of anybody getting online, whether that be a nonprofit, small business, individual, a hobbyist. And, you know, it was like the Wild West back then. We had lots of people trying to figure out how to go after the gold, so to speak, and the concept of homesteading is to go out there and claim your space, and so that's what the name's about.
Well, I was teasing you. I'd read in your bio that you were from Kansas, and
I am from Kansas,
and I'm Homestead in Kansas City, so that's what
yeah, Homestead Act is a little bit more Oklahoma, I think.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so I'm going to give you a softball question here and let you hit it out of the park, but I don't think people can hear this enough. Does every business need a website?
You know, only businesses that are interested in staying in business need a website.
Now, I really do get a lot of, you know, there are people that say, well, yeah, I could see that for certain industries. But, you know, my industry, you know, we make labels that go on, that we sell to you know, meatpacking plants.
Right.
You know, we don't need a website, do we?
Well, only, yeah, sorry, you only need a website if you need sales. Or if you don't interested in sales, you really don't need one.
Right. And I think it's that basic. I mean, we can get around, but I'm the same way. If you're really, it's like it's almost like not having a phone or a fax or something. You know, like it was in those days. That you know, if you don't have those, you're really not in business.
That's true, and it is another form of communication. if someone had told you, you know, 10 years ago that I'm going to have this form of communication that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from anywhere in the world, and it's unbelievably cheap to do, people would be going crazy.
Yeah.
And that's what we have now with the Internet.
Well, and you know, tell me maybe from your experience, because I know you see thousands of websites. A lot of people think in terms of, well, if I want to sell a product or service or something directly online, yeah, maybe I need a website. But there are some many, many, many other ways to use a website in terms of service and extending the sale and educating. I mean, you want to share some examples of other ways other than e-commerce, you know, type
of sites? Yeah, absolutely. That's a very common misperception.
Right.
The truth is that about 20% of all small businesses are commerce-related. 80% are not. They're not selling a product, and they therefore would be classified as a service business. And those businesses have just as much need, if not more, for a website. Because if you're selling a product, it's commoditized. People know what they're buying. They research into the actual product, and they need to know less about you. If you're not selling a product, it's all about you. It's about who you are, what you're doing, how long you've done it, what's special about your process or your service. And you know, so one great example I like to use is a company that does molds for high stress concrete building frame and forms that they use in massive construction. You know, they have sales of $70 million a year or something. And they have a website on Homestead.
Huh.
And they show the process that they go through to build these forms to make these massive pieces of infrastructure for these buildings. And they claim their website has significantly helped them close sales. And not only that, their customers, who are these big contractors, have gotten to know them a lot better, has put a face to their business, and they claim that the retention for their return contracts is much higher because they have this personal level of communication. So if a company that does molds for concrete forms can use a website, I think any service business could use a website.
Well, and I think that's probably a little bit of the point of why blogs and some other new media aspects of the web have become so popular, in my opinion, is that they really do put a face on the company, and they give it a voice, and they allow people to interact with it. And so what are your thoughts about some of those new media tools? I mean, are they Are they good for business? Does Homestead provide some of those technologies as well?
Yeah, I think that the answer to your first question is very good for business anytime you're getting closer to your customer. And the definition of how that happens can be very broadly interpreted, whether it's a newsletter or a direct email or a personal story on your website or a video or a blog. Those are all ways to bring you closer to your customer. And as we all know, purchasing decisions and business relationships are still emotional and interpersonal things. And at the end of the day, you're going to end up making those decisions based on some of those emotions that you have as a human. And so the closer you can come to being a human on your side, the closer you are to building that relationship. And that's what I tell our customers is no one's coming to buy from you because they think they mistake you for Amazon or, Amoco. They know you're a small business. Embrace that you're a small business. Embrace that you can provide a personal level of service and make your website an extension of you, as opposed to trying to be something that you're not.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to characterize it. I, of course, am a big fan of blogs, and they've been good to me, but a lot of people certainly look at those as, well, is that, do I need it or not? Is that the silver bullet or not? And I think you really classified it very well. It's just another marketing tool, another way to have a conversation, and those are all good things.
That's right, and it's certainly not overnight going to change your business, but if you're the type of person who feels comfortable in a blogging environment, it's hard to write and come up with things to say and do so in a succinct manner. But if you're one of those people who prefers to communicate that way as opposed to smiling and dialing your customers all day long, then that could be the perfect answer for you.
And another way to integrate your message in. Just
absolutely. If instead, that's not your thing, but maybe you need to be filming a video once a month that just updates everybody on how the businesses are doing or your new products and services, and stick that video up on your site. Obviously, please don't make it play automatically when the person comes to your splash page.
Good, that's right. How has, in your opinion, I'm one of those people that my wife will say, what's the phone number for XYZ? I don't go to the phone book. I go click, 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 because I can find anything I want online.
Yeah.
So how has that type of searching and that type of use of the web changed the need and maybe even the structure of a website, in your opinion?
Well, for sure. I tend to say, look at what people under 30 are doing, and that's what the whole world's going to be doing very soon. Those are your customers. And under 30 people, if you ask them where the phone book is in their house, they can't find it. They have no idea.
Well, I'm over 30, so I'm in
it. Then there are a few of us who are, we're just kind of early. We always say we're, early predictors for our we're young at heart. Let's put it that way.
That's right. There we go.
And so if they're not using the phone book to find out your phone number, there's a huge advantage in that. First of all, they're not seeing your list of competitors right next to you.
Right.
Right. They're not thinking locally, which can be good or bad for you based on how you think about your business.
Right.
And they're looking. So they're looking for you, and they have they're casting a wider net, and they're going to be comparing you against a completely different comparison set. If you're a bed and breakfast in a location, and you're trying to just, in the old days, trying to find information about bed and breakfast was very difficult, and you tended to have to go to a guidebook or something like that, or a Yellow Pages, and you'd see all the other bed and breakfasts listed. Well, now you're competing with anyone who offers any type of hospitality service within a 100-mile range of where you are. So that's the disadvantage. The advantage is that if you're one of those people that can communicate effectively on the web, you're ahead of a lot of your competitors. And you can bring out some of those personal qualities that's going to make you be the place that they choose.
So what about local then? I heard you mention that because there certainly are a lot of folks that say, I don't want to do business around the world. I want to do it around the block.
Yeah, right.
So what do those folks need to do? And is there anything different they need to do in order to take advantage of the fact that somebody who's looking for a plumber in their town or in their suburb might actually use the web?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd say two things. Number one, local is definitely different. When you're building a website, in the sense that you're doing a lot more about serving your customers than acquiring new customers, you're going to be able to take advantage of a lot more of those types of aspects of it. But the other thing I would say to you as a local business, if you are one, is your business is a lot less local than you think. You have chosen to make it local. And there are an awful lot of people out there, even if you're a plumber, and that's like the most extreme example, right, or a dry cleaner, there are a lot more aspects of your business that could be non-localized or at least regionalized, or you could think of the town next to you as a customer, which you don't right now.
Yeah.
And that's what the web can provide you. So just because it's available all over the world and in Australia, that doesn't mean that that's what you're getting the benefit. It could just be that, you know, I grew up in Sedgwick County, it could be going from Sedgwick County to Johnson County, or you know, which is still a big leap for somebody in Wichita, Kansas, to get up to the Kansas City area.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you know, that's 3-hour drive. It may be a vendor, it may be a distribution partner, it may be customers, maybe people who travel on business. That could triple your business, which is significant, of course.
Absolutely. All right, I get this question all the time, and I'm sure you probably do too, and I know there at Homestead you guys provide some services along these lines, but if you were going to give one or two or three of kind of the best ways to generate traffic to a website, what would some of those be? And again, I know we could do a whole show on that, so just maybe a couple you think are your favorites.
Sure. Well, the first thing I would say is actually fix your site first. And you're getting more traffic than you are. I guarantee your website is getting more traffic than you are taking advantage of. And so the first thing to do is to make sure that your actual main website, your main page, succinctly describes what you do. It has a simple step or action that you want the customer to take, and then you have a way to follow up with them. So that if you're a service business, that action should be, you know, fill out my form here, give me your information, I'll call you back. Inquire about, you know, have me send you a brochure, inquire about my services, whatever it is. You want some action that sucks them in so you can actually measure what is happening on your website when traffic comes. Then once you've done that, there's lots of ways to go out and get traffic. There certainly is some low-hanging fruit that you can do to optimize your site for search engines.
Yeah.
People have probably heard this term, search engine optimization.
Sure.
A lot of it is kind of snake oil. You know, there's a lot of people out there selling search engine optimization, and the truth is, at the end of the day, it doesn't really work. What works is building a website that effectively serves your customers and sells your products, and over time, that will cause you to be more valuable organically. However, there are things you can do. Like you said, this could be a whole hour topic, but you could find other people who are blogging in your space, or other websites that are you consider to be well built that are in a complementary space to you, or maybe a regional. If you're a dentist, it could be other dentists in other areas. It could be not the dentist, but the orthodontist in your area, and you set up a relationship with those partners where they link to you, you link to them.
Yeah. It's amazing how often some of that's just common sense, because it's the same things you would be doing offline.
Exactly.
You know, having good content, networking, you know, with people that serve your same target market. I mean, it's all the same. It's just plays out a little differently on the web.
That's right. So when you think those businesses think about their traditional reference relationships,
mm-hmm.
which are often word of mouth, and reference relationships are often the best ways that businesses get customers, that's what you want to try to replicate online. That's going to be much more valuable to you than tricking some search engine into getting you a few extra clicks here and there, because the chance that those clicks are qualified is slim.
Well, now, I will tell people, and you probably, maybe you have some that you like, but there are a couple resources that I trust very much. You know, Search Engine Watch, I think, puts out some great just basic information. Planet Ocean, you know, has some nice basic all you know, the little things that, you know, don't have welcome to our homepage be your title tag of your homepage.
Yep.
You know, some little under the hood things that I think everybody, whether they are doing their own website design or not, should know about.
Definitely. Marketing Sherpa is a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that one. That for sure. And the people that are more resourceful and more willing to kind of go under the hood a little bit with their website, those resources are more valuable.
Yeah.
We do have a product called Searchlight, and there are not a lot of services out there like this. And the reason we created it is because search engine marketing is so complicated. But what Searchlight does is, instead of you going to Google and creating an account that you have to then manage and buy the words and figure out how to optimize it, and then go to Yahoo and do the same thing and figure out what placement you should have and, you know, why it's costing you $3 a click when you thought it was going to cost you 50 cents, why nobody's signing up, is that we have a service that just says, tell us what business you're in, tell us what location you are in. Like, if you're literally a plumber in Wichita, you just say, I'm a plumber in Wichita, and we buy the ads for you. We charge, of course, a little bit of a markup for what you could get if you were really good, but most of the time what we're charging is actually less than you would be able to do on your own time, because it just takes so much time and experience to operate.
And you do all the keyword generation and everything?
We do all the keyword generation. We purchase it at 20 or 30 different search engines, not just at the top two.
Yeah.
And we drive it back to you, and we just charge you per month.
Yeah.
You know, per click. So you pay $50 a month, you get 30 clicks.
Well, that's a good jumping off point here to tell me a little bit more about. I know that your belief, your mantra, the way the whole business was built was on this easy, low-cost way for people to get effective websites. So tell me a little bit about some of the products and offerings overall.
Sure. So our core product at Homestead is a website solution, which starts with something called Quick Sites, where you come in, there's a gallery of 2,000 pre-built sites. They're not templates in the sense that it's not just like a marble theme or something. You're actually getting, if you're a landscaper, there's 15 landscaper websites fully built out with fictitious content.
Huh.
You choose one of these. They all were designed by different designers around the world. They're all beautiful. You choose one, and then you're instantly online editing it. You can edit the text. You can edit the pictures. You can add pictures and text. You can drag things around. And that's called Site Builder Lite. And then with that can all be done within a matter of minutes. And then we have a more powerful product called Site Builder, and you download that onto your computer, and then you can actually get under the hood and fidget with all the pieces of the site. It's still not HTML level, although you can, if you know what you're doing, add HTML to your site. And then you can fidget with all, there's like 120 different types of objects you can put on your site. You can interchangeably use Site Builder Lite and Site Builder. So if you're a restaurant owner, maybe the manager changes the daily specials and maybe tweaks the bio of the chef, but the office manager or the back-end guy or the part-time techie might go in and really, get under the hood and fix things.
Yeah.
So that's our core service. We also offer, on top of that, we really pride ourselves on our customer support. We believe that people aren't stupid just because they don't know how to use technology. They're busy. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
And so why we try to empower people with confidence and tell people if you can use Microsoft Word or Microsoft PowerPoint, you can definitely use Homestead. We still offer several tiers of service, not just our regular phone service people, but we also have design services where you can ask them to help you. They can design a logo for you or integrate your logo into your site.
Build a header or something, yeah.
Yeah, so you can end up getting a completely customized site if you want.
Yeah, because I think that's always been one of the – there are some other folks that do some of the template-driven sites, and then to me that's always – one of the issues I have with those is anybody looks at them and they pretty much say, oh, that's a template.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I'm the CEO of the company. When I look at our sites, I can't tell. Probably because I think we have so many of our quick sites.
Yeah.
And also because it's so easy to change them completely in their look and feel. And then finally, a lot of our customers use our design services because it's so cheap that it's very hard to tell. The only way I can tell is that I can go in and look at view source, and there's a little tag we have that says. So I totally agree with you. That is really a flaw with template-driven solutions. And so we've kind of believe we've come up with a special, black magic thing here that is totally different. In fact, it's the best of all worlds.
Well, and from a cost standpoint, certainly people are paying $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a basic business website, and I think you've kind of cracked that code too.
Yeah, absolutely. Ours is more like it's $20 a month on average, maybe $25 or $30 a month if you add some of our services. And if you want us to help you design it, that'll cost you $400 to $500 up front.
And that includes hosting and all the
things. Includes all hosting, includes domain names, email.
Yeah.
We have a cool email service called HMail, which includes kind of like Microsoft Office Online. Has integrated calendaring and scheduling, contact management, and email all in one place.
Wow.
So it's pretty neat. That all comes with it. You get stats, which is an important part of building a site, is understanding how people are using it. And then we have a commerce solution called Homestead Storefront, which is for that 20% we talked about earlier, the 20% who want to sell products. We have a storefront solution, which is a completely database-driven, kind of mini Amazon experience where you...
So it allows somebody pretty easily, painlessly have a little catalog of products in a shopping cart?
Yeah, they may not even be that little. They could have thousands of products
or
dozens of products. We've got customers doing over $10 million a year in revenue on
one
product. So, it scales extremely well. It has shipping. It has international currencies. It has tax calculations. It has integration with QuickBooks. It has integration with eBay and Shopping.com. And so you can really go nuts is if you're an e-tailer.
Yeah.
But it starts fairly small. The key is how do you get somebody in, not when they're doing a few million, but when they're doing a few $1,000s.
Yeah.
And help them grow into a business that's doing over $1 million in revenue.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be in New York, I understand, in February, I think it is.
That's what they tell me. Yeah.
I saw that somewhere, and I'm actually going to be at that same program.
It looks exciting. I'm very excited to be there, and we've had lots of good experience with I have to say, in general, I think what you're doing with Duct Tape Marketing and what Ramon's doing and others are excellent, because it's the way you speak to a small business is you act like one, you talk to them as peers,
yeah.
You help them, you know, coming from the perspective of, hey, I've built one of these myself and I know what it's like.
Yeah.
Power to you, but also here's, I know your pains.
Yeah.
I think is the right way to get small businesses to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always exciting when you get those people in a room.
Well, people can go, it's just homestead.com, right?
That's right.
Okay. So I appreciate you taking the time. We're kind of at the end of the commute and treadmill circuit on this podcast, so I kind of keep them at this length. But
gotcha, John.
I certainly appreciate you taking the time, and I there's no question in my mind that people should check out Homestead, and we've already determined that you need a website. This might be a way for you to get a much better, much more powerful, and much more flexible website. So, again, thanks very much, Justin, and hopefully we'll visit again soon.
Yeah, I hope so, John. Nice to talk to you.